You're listening to Irish Radio Canada. I'm Niall Broad, and I'm delighted that we're going across the country connected with the Chambers and those who are helping Ireland and Canada integrate business with people. And Ruth Hanna holds the reins at the Chamber in Montreal. Ruth, tremendous to connect with you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Delighted to be asked. First time, Austin. Hopefully it's not the last.
Hopefully not. Challenge that all chambers are up against and is getting enthusiasm, first of all, from the Irish businesses and seeing it as an opportunity for the local business to, as a funnel, to be able to introduce them to the Irish on the other side. How have things been in Montreal?
Well, I would say in Montreal, we had an extra difficulty, which is, of course, the French language, which is what makes Quebec so specific. So the Montreal Chamber may well be the oldest chamber, actually, Ireland-Canada Chamber in Canada. So it has been around for 25 years. But I would say it has had pretty unique difficulties. First of all, we were started in 91 by a trio of Irishmen. And then almost immediately afterwards, we had the Quebec separatist vote. And that was held in 95. And that impacted the chamber quite a lot in terms of membership, company sponsorships. And the fact really it survived today was really, I would say, it's a clear reflection of the determination of one of the co-founders, who was Paul Loftus. So, we have a dual mission, and that was, that's to foster trade and commerce between Ireland and Quebec, and also to further members' businesses. But the reality is, for the first half, or more than the first half of our, 25 years, we really were fulfilling, it was initially just a vehicle for promoting, members, small to medium-sized businesses. But we've really noticed a difference here in Montreal since 2016, obviously since CETA. We've noticed a huge difference in terms of Irish companies coming here, Ireland Canada Business Association. We've noticed a difference in M&A between Quebec and Irish companies. And, and then again, we've really noticed that Quebec has got onto the radar of Team Ireland. So in 2020, or I think it was 2021, actually, Enterprise Ireland opened an office in Montreal. That was momentous because that was the first time ever we had, an Irish agency set up shop in Quebec. Ever since that, it's just gone from force to force. Last year, we've been lobbying for the past 2 years, the Chamber, to have an Irish consulate here in Quebec. We haven't got that yet. It's still a long-term plan. But we've got excellent momentum because last year they appointed a new honorary consul. They also appointed, we had a new ambassador, John Concannon, and he actually made it, a priority to learn French even before coming here. And then earlier this year, about 6 months ago, the Irish government also elected a Francophonie officer who is based in Ottawa, specifically to deal with the French-speaking part of Canada. And all of that is just making for great momentum and a really robust network to help Irish companies export here and also for Quebec companies look towards Ireland.
When you mention Quebec companies towards Ireland, not many people realise that Quebec companies have already well invested in Ireland, and particularly Couche-Tard, isn't it? And people don't recognise it. You know, you drive around Ireland and you have Circle K, and I've had Irish people, friends of mine, saying, oh, they're American. I said, no, they're not. That's Canadian.
And also, of course, in the north, well, we have what used to be Bombardier, but there still there's a very strong link. There's still a very strong aeronautical sector, left from that as well.
What would be the key sectors then that the relationship would be thriving on?
Fintech, pharma, and tech in general.
And isn't there cartoons, animation relationship, I think, with some company in Montreal?
Yes. The keywords international, yes, that's right. I believe it's a localization services. Yes, they have an office here in Old Montreal. Yeah, they've been here for 10, 15 years.
Yeah. And it's amazing with those kind of little things that you never think of. And yes, you see, particularly with the Ireland-Canada relationship coming up at the end of a movie or something, and you kind of think, where did that come from?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a really big Kerry Foods here just south of Montreal as well, who just became a corporate member too. So, there's actually never been I mean, corporate members actually, I mean, we've, as I said, we've great momentum at the Chamber right now, and corporate members are up about 50% in the past 2 years, just to give you a little bit of colour.
Ruth, the perception also, you mentioned French, but there has been quite a strong immigration of Irish expertise into Montreal, Quebec, over the last 10 years.
Yes, again, that's all part of the momentum that's being created. And we're seeing it as well. We're seeing, you know, through the Chamber, we don't have an immigration centre here, but we're seeing more CVs. We're being asked to provide more help to immigrants settle here. Yeah, so overall, the mixture between, I believe, the more Irish companies that are settling here and the more immigrants are creating all of that momentum as well.
And it used to be that French as such was a barrier, but I think, again, the Irish now are well educated in languages, that it is less of a barrier than it would have been 15, 20 years ago.
For sure, the Irish that come here know that they need to have a certain level of French beforehand. Anybody that comes here is planned and typically at least tries to resurrect their French before coming. Some roles you will need French in it, and it's going to be difficult otherwise. And other ones, if it's back office or depending on the sector like IT, then it's not as much of an issue.
If anyone's looking for more information, where should they be going, Ruth?
Please contact us at, you can contact me directly on president@icccmtl.com. Our website, we're in the process of redoing our website. That's www.icccmtl.com. And if you're around, feel free to join us for our Christmas party on December 2nd. The ambassador will be there. It's going to be a very, very good night, and we'd love it. If you could drop in, you can pay up front, you could pay at the door. That'd be great to see you.
Fantastic. Ruth, it's been fantastic collecting with you, and thank you so much for taking the time. Hopefully you go from strength to strength to strength, and the relationship keeps building.
Oh, it's all going in the right direction. Thank you very much, Austin.
You're listening to Irish Radio Canada at Home and Abroad, and I love to connect with groups of people across the country who are all working for Ireland in one way or another, be it sports or business or the arts. And there's a Chamber of Commerce movement that runs right across the country with chapters in Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. And there's also in Ireland, the Ireland Canada Business Association. So these group of work together to bring people together to help advance the Canada-Irish relationship from a business perspective. And Julie McAlpin is the president of the Ireland Canada Chamber of Commerce Ottawa chapter. Julie, thanks a million for taking the time and coming along. You've grabbed the reins, and I know since you have grabbed the reins that you've had a few events or an event under your belt to get out there, meet the people, and get a feel for what you're about to do and what's going on. Over to you and your reaction.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me here, Austin. I really appreciate the opportunity. So, yeah, I've been an active member of the Ireland Canada Chamber of Commerce here in Ottawa for many years. I was given the opportunity to actually join the board, and this was in the last few months. I decided to grab the reins, and I was offered the opportunity to be the president. I had great backing, great confidence to do this role, foremost from the Irish ambassador to Canada, plus other board members. Super excited to be involved. I have a very close relationship with the people of Ireland, and we hosted an event recently to relaunch the board. It was called Celtic Spirits Come Together, a wonderful evening of great networking, fun, crack, and also raising money for a charitable event. So it encompassed everything. It was wonderful to see old friends there and to make new connections. And I find that Ottawa is really growing in the business sense, and it's fantastic to bring people together that have a common interest in building the Canadian business community and the Irish community here as well.
So, Julie, we're at a time in history where that business relationship is particularly important. And, you know, having locations and having organisations when Irish wish to, the Irish companies wish to have a foothold outside of Ireland, and Canadian companies are looking to have a foothold in Europe. It is very important that you're able to provide some of those signposts.
Mm-hmm. I think that's completely true, because I've always viewed that Ireland is the gateway to Europe. I think Ireland is a really fantastic example of a country that's a member of the European Union. It has gained a great deal through that, and it's also contributed a great deal. I've met a lot of business owners so far in Ottawa who have completely pivoted their business, and they're looking for other places where they can grow. And it is very interesting speaking to people. They're so interested in the Irish community and getting involved in the chamber and seeing what opportunities lie elsewhere. Also for the board in Ottawa, we are a regional anchor partner with We Are Global Irish, which is an organization that specifically helps connect business people on both sides of the Atlantic. And it's wonderful to have that collaboration, because I feel that the chamber can make the connection for people, and then We Are Global Irish can really help people with the consultation, the background work, the immigration connections that we, both organizations, have, just to make sure that everybody is joined up and they get out of it what they need and the information that they require.
And of course, when somebody wants to make inquiries, we're fortunate that while based in Toronto, you have the IDA have their office down there, and you mentioned immigration, and the Ireland Canada Immigration Organization is down there also. And we're fortunate here to have the embassy in Ottawa. So that to be able to pull together a team like that and to be able to direct, as I say, to signpost for people who are interested in bilateral trade arrangements is a very pivotal and important role.
It certainly is. I feel that we're at a great advantage being here in Ottawa. We have a wonderful, dynamic new Irish ambassador to Canada, John Kincannon. He really is wonderful. He's traveled across the country. He's been pivotal in getting the chamber started up again. And having the support from the embassy staff is such a great item, such a great thing. I'm very grateful for all the support they've given us, all the support they've given to me in my new role, and what they've provided to our new board. It's very important, and it's great to put Ottawa on the map for Irish people coming here as well, and letting them know that we are here to support them, where they can have a good landing with folk that have been through this before, know what it's like to come here, try to get up and running in the business community and make those connections that make you feel like you're back home, but also you're integrating into Canadian business world, into the Canadian social quirks that happen sometimes here, and we've got people's back.
So, Julie, the important housekeeping, where would we be directing? Where should people go to find more information?
So I actually have a LinkedIn page, and I do have my official email address on there. If anybody has any inquiries and would like to link, the email address is president@icott.ca. So it's ICOTT, ICCCOTT.ca. We are looking for people that would like to join the chamber, if they're interested in finding out about any business networking events that they should come along to. We have so many connections across different sectors. We'd love for younger people to join the board, students coming to Ottawa that maybe need introductions to the business community. That is vital as well. And we're particularly interested in folk that have a great entrepreneurial spirit, who are looking to set up a company here in Ottawa. They've come from Ireland and they need the assistance, and people who obviously have very successful businesses here and can maybe be speakers at an event. We're very interested in looking for speakers as well.
Julie, thanks so much for taking the time. And Julie gave you the contact information there. I hope you have I know you will have a wonderful experience in the chair, and every success to you.
Thank you very much. You're very, very kind. Thank you.
So now we're heading to Toronto, and we're going to connect in with the Ireland Canada Chamber of Commerce there. And Philip Gersh is the executive director. And Philip is originally from County Limerick and is over here now a number of years established. And one way for any business or any person to integrate into the community is to connect with the Chamber of Commerce. Philip, great to have you here, and I want you to keep me up to date. Bring us all up to what's going on in Toronto with the Chamber down there. I know you had some trade missions over the last year and so, and I'm sure there's stuff coming up in the next year also.
Absolutely. Austin, thanks so much for having me on, and good morning to you and to your listeners on this cold, wintry morning. It's hard to know if it's the fall or the winter, but anyway, we'll keep moving forward. No, Austin, it's been an incredible year for an exciting time for the Ireland Canada Chamber of Commerce here in Toronto. You know, I think when I look back, we've had a very strong year. We've had a lot of events. We've added five new events to our program this year. We've had some new partnerships and, of course, a growing engagement right across the Irish and Canadian business community. I think, look, the Chamber really serves as a soft landing pad for, you know, both Irish businesses looking to expand into Canada, to build out their network and relationships with, you know, potential partners and other business leaders. But more importantly, I think, you know, we also serve and support new arrivals who are seeking new career opportunities, are looking for a change in their life, you know, be it community connections or to connect in on a social level. You know, we give them really an opportunity to meet potential employers, and the Chamber is really here to open up doors, make those introductions, and create a space where people can grow both personally and professionally.
Well, Philip, you know, while Ottawa might be the federal capital, in many ways the business capital of certainly Eastern Canada is Toronto. So, you know, you guys would see an awful lot of activity relative to other locations, maybe Vancouver on the West Coast. So in that context, and the other thing, of course, is Team Ireland are very heavily based in Toronto. So you have a lot of supports there. So the amount of activity that would be coming across your table would be far more than the rest of the country in many ways.
Yeah, it's a good point. So look, Toronto is really seen very much like Ireland is seen as the gateway to Europe in many ways. Toronto is seen as the gateway to North America. And there is a lot of activity happening. As you mentioned, Team Ireland is here in Toronto. So we have the likes of IDA Ireland, Enterprise Ireland, Tourism Ireland, and even Invest Northern Ireland as well. And, you know, they provide huge support to companies looking to expand from Ireland into North America. We are really, like I said, the soft landing pad. We help build those and expand those relationships for those businesses. But we work very collaboratively with those partners. A lot of the organizations I've just mentioned are corporate partners of the Chamber. So we work, like I said, very closely with them on helping supporting their companies in many ways, be it creating events and supporting them on various trade mission events, you know, welcoming ministers and various dignitaries that come over from Ireland as well. So it's important. We see a lot of activity at the moment, I think more so than ever. You know, there's a spotlight on Canada right now, I think even more now than ever. So we play, you know, we have a big responsibility in building those bilateral trade relationships between Ireland and Canada. And I think when you look at when our free trade agreement was launched in 2017, which is called CETA, our economy, both back and forth between Canada and Ireland, has grown substantially. In fact, our trade has doubled since the formation of CETA to about $14 million Canadian dollars. So there's a lot of activity in the market, and that's where, you know, Canada is very much looking to grow that relationship with Ireland, trade and investment relationship with Ireland much more now.
I noticed recently, I think it was the Mayor of Toronto was on a trade delegation over to Ireland, and the other thing at the moment that might be of benefit on both sides is, of course, the Irish have a soft spot for Canada with an Irishman as the Prime Minister.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. And I think, look, that's very important. I mean, our history goes back so far. I mean, when you look at, you know, those relationships and those sort of heritage connections, I mean, you know, they say about 10% of the Canadian population has Irish heritage. So that's about 4.6 million, right? So, you know, it's not unusual to have that connection, but it's great and it does help, because I think Canadians and Irish are very, very similar in many ways. You know, we're big supporters of sport. You know, we love sport, different types of sport, be it European sport or North American sport. But we're also entrepreneurial and minded. And, we really do want to continue to strengthen those relationships. Obviously, there are some concerns within business around what's happening with the U.S. tariffs and so on. And now is a really good time to build on that and keep that moving forward.
Are there particular sectors where you're seeing stronger activity than others, Philip?
Yes, I mean, to name a few, I think technology is certainly one. There are a lot of structures in place now in Ireland to support early stage emerging technology companies. There is, you know, huge investment going into Ireland. I think, our Taoiseach has mentioned that, you know, he would like to see Ireland sort of be an AI hub and replicate what they've done in France. So that's going to drive huge innovation, and that's a very exciting pivot, I think. And when you look at, you know, 8 of the top Canadian companies having the European headquarters in Ireland, that will just show the strength and reliability of Ireland as a destination to do business in and to access the wider European market. But I think, look, technology is certainly one. There's a lot of technology companies that coming out around data, you know, intelligence, financial technology, particularly from Northern Ireland, but in the Republic, technology around hospitality, manufacturing, robotics, and so on.
So, Philip, if people want to get the coordinates of where you guys are at and get links on where events are happening, where they're happening, all those kind of things, where should we be directing them?
Well, we have a website, which is ICCTO.com. So that's ICCCTO. And we promote our initiatives and our events there. I mean, we're involved in about 14 sort of signature events that we host ourselves annually. But across the wider community, we're involved in about 30 events. And that includes, you know, the European networking events that we hold bi-monthly, the various ministerial events. We do also have social events, like our annual trivia night, which is just a fun sort of brain teaser event that people can, you know, meet people socially. We have an upcoming event, which is our our trade mission and investment event, where people will be able to find a lot of information on our website. It's called the Ireland Canada Business Breakfast, it's called Beyond Barriers, and it's really focused on the bilateral trade relationship between Ireland and Canada. So that's coming up on Monday the 17th. So yeah, our website is the best way to find us. We do obviously have social platforms, our LinkedIn and Instagram as well.
Thanks a million, Philip.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Austin.
You're listening to Irish Radio Canada Home and Abroad, and I am connecting with the Chambers of Commerce and the Business Team Ireland across the country, and we're landing in Calgary, and Laureen Regan is the anchor person there. Tafalch Road, Laureen, welcome. Great to see you again.
Good to see you too.
What have you been up to?
Oh, you know, this and that. It's been a very busy few years here. I know we haven't connected in a while. Yeah. A couple of things from an update perspective is, you know, we're celebrating our 15th year as the Ireland-Alberta Trade Association here in Alberta, and we've had some great successes and continue to have wonderful momentum that we are, continuing to utilize to grow the bilateral trade between Ireland and Alberta. So we're very excited about that. And, you know, some of the things that we've been doing is, you know, yearly, at least yearly, we do a trade or investment visit to Ireland. We've brought over Alberta companies looking to expand into Europe, utilizing Ireland as that launch pad. We brought over government officials and people in education, et cetera, to look at building collaborative agreements, which have been very successful. So there's been some great momentum, and we're quite excited to see what next year looks like as well.
So, Lorraine, when you mentioned that over the last few years, if there were any notable wins in both directions, what might they be?
Well, I'd say one of the most significant, aside from the fact that we really are the most active business association focused on bilateral trade in Canada, where we're actually doing these visits and bringing people over and supporting them, I'd say a second big win would be the one that was announced last year with SAIT, which is the Southern Alberta Institute of Technology. They have a collaborative agreement with the Technical University Shannon that has been highly successful. There's a write-up about it on the website if anybody wants to read into that and see how that's going. On this recent visit to Ireland 2 weeks ago, I had a series of meetings throughout the week and have several education opportunities looking at coming this way in the spring, so we'll see what happens with that. In addition, of course, you know, if you look at the sectors that are of high interest, because there is synergies between both Ireland and Alberta, the sectors that we'd be looking at would be, of course, anything in clean tech or renewable energy, fintech. Agriculture is a significant industry in both jurisdictions that really there are some great connections, as well as, you know, anything having to do with technology as a whole. So there's some great wins both ways that way that we're seeing people connecting on and looking and having more interest in particular as it relates to technology.
CETA has been sitting on the desk for a number of years waiting final approval in Ireland. I know even while it is waiting that there have been relationships have developed and trade has developed. Has that been beneficial?
I think being able to say in any instance that there are, you know, 98% of the tariffs removed when it comes to doing a business relationship, yes, you're going to see the benefits of that. And part of what we're doing is always trying to raise awareness of CETA and the benefits to businesses when they're looking at those relationships and the collaborations that could happen either way. So it certainly makes the why to do it much easier when the tariffs have been removed as they have with this provisional agreement. And we, too, hope to see that ratified very soon.
Traditionally, you know, we saw growth in areas that would have been more like fintech, as you say, and in the natural resource side. But you mentioned education, and yes. I noticed that there has been a huge collaborative situation between both countries right across the country in the last few years when it comes to education and partnerships.
There has been a significant growth in those areas. I think Ireland has certainly a leadership role when it comes to their educational sector that we're seeing Canadian institutions wanting to emulate and learn from. So, yes.
And from the students as well, because as I understand it, that the relationship is allowing Canadian students, particularly where there may be a gap in their curriculum, that they can fill that gap in an Irish institution and get credit, etc.
That's what I've understood as well, too, yes.
Yeah. Powerful relationship in that context.
Yes.
So as you look to the future, you know, we're all very conscious that doing business south of the border has become quite challenging. So that must present for you and for the businesses in Alberta and across the country as well, tremendous potential to look east and say, well, these people speak English. We have a lot in common. That has opportunity there also.
I would say for Irish companies and for Alberta companies, I think, and all Canadian companies, yes, although our focus certainly is in Alberta. If you look at Ireland and Alberta, the synergies are quite significant. Both have very low tax rate, very low. Alberta has an 8% tax rate. We have no provincial sales tax. We have no payroll tax. So setting up here to access the broader market just makes sense. When you look at Ireland, you know, again, low tax rate, English-speaking workforce, same as here, as well as a highly educated workforce. The technical skills on both sides are significant when it comes to building and growing a company. We helped a company Access Alberta, who chose Calgary as their office, and they said they've never seen any kind of response in any other global setup that they've had where they've had significant input of highly qualified workers when it comes to posting jobs. So they'll post a job and they'll get 100 resumes, but all of those 100 resumes could take the job because the qualifications are so significant. So I think that we have that on both sides as well for Ireland and Alberta. And we really have a similar way of doing business, hardworking. You know, we all lean in, we want to help, we want to make a difference. And Alberta and Ireland are very similar in that regard.
Where are the coordinates for anybody looking for more information?
The IrelandAlbertaTrade.com.
And all social media, LinkedIn and all those places as well.
You betcha. Reach out if you have any questions. Thank you.
Indeed. Lorraine, it's been great reconnecting with you. Thank you so much indeed for taking the time.
Thank you.
And now we're moving over to Calgary, to Edmonton, and I've got John Crowley here with me. John and I chatted earlier on the year. And as always, you know, when we do a cross-country checkup, it's great to be able to recognize how the Irish are all over the country. John, great to have you back.
Good to be back, Aston. Thanks for having me.
What are you up to out there?
Oh, just getting ready for winter, I suppose. On the Irish side of things, we're just after getting over the Edmonton Wolfstones to their 50th anniversary there a couple of weeks ago. So it was great to punctuate the time of the GA in Canada with that event. Then on the Chamber of Commerce side of things, kind of coming up towards Christmas, getting a few events together. We had a very interesting event there about 2 weeks ago. It was a Indigenous and Irish cultural exchange. So it was put on at the Faculty of St. John at the University of Alberta, organized by ourselves and some of the dancing community here, and also some of the U of A cultural departments. And really the event was to exchange cultures and it took the form of an Irish dancing show. And then Indigenous dancers came on and showed us what their heritage and their culture and their dance is about. So it was a great event. It was a great cross-cultural exchange of cultural event. And, you know, backed by the Chamber of Commerce here, but also the faculties in the U of A. So, yeah, that's a quick rundown of what's going on at the moment.
So, you know, we're all very conscious at the moment from what would be a business perspective that the business community in Canada generally are facing challenges, and that the need to develop relationships east and west are critically important. And I know the Irish government are very aware of it also. Have you noticed much of a change or a development in interest in what would be European-Irish business relationships over the last coming on 12 months now?
I would, but I don't know, is that just because I'm in this, you know, I'm a bit more to the front lines of things now when I hear a bit more about it. But so, you know, it's all relative to what exposure I had before. But yeah, I think there's very decent contact coming from the consulates here, hearing about potential visits from Irish delegations coming over. There's also groups based in Canada, Alberta and Edmonton, that would, their purpose would be to reach out to Ireland and also to the EU for different fundings. So yeah, I'm getting probably weekly getting contacts in different guises on that.
And would you see that some of the businesses in your neck of the woods recognize that there is opportunity now that they need to look east, whereas previously they were looking south, and that they're taking that more seriously?
Good question. I still think they're in they are in the process of looking around them and maybe not acting on it yet, and definitely doing the short list of where they should be looking. And I'm talking about the businesses that would be local to me. Maybe Pan-Canada is a little bit different of an answer. So that's my observation right this second.
And are you getting much inquiry coming in or hearing of much coming again from the Irish side saying, well, we also need to diversify and that Canada represents opportunities and particular sectors that Alberta would be a logical relationship for them to try to establish?
Yeah, I'd nod along a bit harder to that question and statement, definitely, Austin. Yeah, I'm getting a bit more interest here and a bit more lively conversation coming from the Irish side looking this way. But again, that's just my position at the moment. The fact that, Canada looking east, maybe that just doesn't reach me right now.
And then from an immigrant perspective, are you still seeing bodies coming in looking to relocate and establish themselves?
Yeah, we're getting reached out to, again, weekly, bi-weekly, with new arrivals, wanting to get involved. Just had a contact from a young fella last week, wants to get involved with the Chamber of Commerce, both from a networking standpoint, social networking, and just establishing himself in the city. Great young fella, seems very driven from Limerick. Yeah, so that's just a very specific example, but yeah, weekly we're getting those people. And also relocation of Irish people that are already in Canada to Edmonton and Calgary. A lot seem to be putting feelers out, like maybe people in BC and Ontario are putting feelers out for what it's like in Alberta. Messaging the groups, messaging the chats, the Facebook groups, etc. You know, what's it like, cost of living, etc., etc. So, yeah, plenty of chat in the Irish community on things like that.
And of course, from an Irish business perspective in Canada, looking to within the country to the other Irish organisations does make an awful lot of sense, because if you need to expand your market, when you have something in common, be it that you're all Irish, it does help.
It's most certainly, yeah. There's that connection straight away, and there's that cultural understanding straight away, and you cut through a lot of that.
Right. John, if anyone's looking to see what you guys are up to or where they can find you, and particularly if you have anything coming up over the next few weeks for Christmas gatherings and things like that, where should we be directing them?
Yeah, ICCEdmonton.ca is the website. You'd find us on Facebook as well, although I need to do a better job of getting going on that. And you can drop us an email as well, ICCEdmonton@outlook.com.
Yes. Excellent. John Crowley, great connecting with you again. Thank you so much indeed for taking the time.
Thanks a million, Austin.
So we've arrived from east to west, and we're in Vancouver. And Mike Murphy is at Chamber in Vancouver. Mike, thanks a million for taking the time to come and join us. And it's great to go from nearly coast to coast, not quite, but from Montreal out to Vancouver and get updates in between. How are things with the Chamber in Vancouver? And I will say that, you know, I would think you guys are dealing with probably a different set of things than maybe other places, because I know you've had a great influx of new arrivals over the last few years where other places may not have seen the same thing.
That's a good way of putting it, Ari, Austin. Firstly, thanks for having me today. Very privileged to be here. Yeah, like it's kind of in your first question there, things are great. Things are great with the Chamber. I suppose we're established now 20, so there was a variation, there was an organization called Vibe, and that was kind of like the original iteration of the Chamber. But I think we've been around about 2019, and obviously COVID was a massive impact on us, like, because we were just kind of getting going, I suppose. And then COVID was quite a challenge, I would say. A lot of that was the usual stuff, just virtual this and virtual that. But a lot of it, too, was just like a lot of people left.
Right.
So we were starting to gather momentum with members, people left. But things have been great. Like, I mean, we've really evolved, I would say, like very quickly. The one thing about Vancouver is, like, this is probably the best thing about Vancouver. Like, it's an extremely young diaspora.
Right.
So, like, full of enthusiasm, full of energy. I think, like, when we get guests from home, they're quite taken back by that, the kind of youthfulness in the room. The only kind of, I'd say, challenge with that from a Chamber perspective is, like, you get a lot of people that will do their time and they'll leave. So it's quite transient, but saying that now, it's a sad day that I'm kind of considered one of the outlads here. I've been here, like, 14 years. So
Mike, I know, like, the GAA is boasting that it has more growth in Vancouver than anywhere else in the world.
100%.
Because again, as you said, the people coming in are young. So, but from the point of view of then businesses that would have Irish influencers at a management level, are they coming to the chamber?
100%. Yeah, like, I mean, I do think that the West Coast has probably got, I don't, whether this could be just a perception thing, but there's kind of a perception like that the West Coast is a bit of an afterthought. One thing like that's a bit of a challenge, I think, not just a business perspective, like just life in general, like there's not enough direct flights.
Right.
So I think sometimes Vancouver in particular feels like an afterthought. But that being said, like friends of mine, peers of mine, like I'm in the kind of like AEC industry. Okay. So many of them are at the leadership level. They have their own businesses, entrepreneurs. So, like, we'd be quite proud of, like, that representation in the chamber.
Right.
Like, lots and lots of very successful young Irish people doing very, very well here.
And I know also that, you know, what would be the business base out west would be somewhat different than it would be in, say, Alberta or would be in Ontario. So the relationship and the Irish businesses that would be seeking to connect might be a different group of businesses also. So, and I know there were trade missions in the last period as well. So are you seeing much interest from the Vancouver-based businesses looking that might want a relationship with Ireland and Irish businesses that are coming in to say, what have you guys got that might interest us?
Yes. Like, I would say when I was here, like, that was a bit of a slow burner. It wasn't quite obvious, like, you know, the way even Canada can be, like, sometimes geographically it was easier to do business with, say, like, Seattle than it would be Toronto. But for obvious reasons now, not to get into it, but I would say global economics and what have you has sort of changed and pivoted a little bit. But for sure, like, I think, like, where Ireland is strategically in a good position is because of those situations, there's been more of a focus on the EU.
Okay.
And Ireland being like the only English-speaking country and the perks, I suppose, of establishing a business there, yes, we're seeing a lot more interest in the last, like I'd say, 6 to 12 months of, you know, what is the trade relationship and how do we do more work out there?
And I think there's sectors as well, like mining, I think, would have been one of the areas that would be strong. What other areas would there be a particular strength that Ireland would be bringing to the table that would... that British Columbia would offer a good partnership?
Yeah, so I would say, like, mining for sure. I would say, like, ones that kind of are a little bit under the radar would be, like, kind of like tech, obviously, would be one, but it would be very specific tech, like clean technology. Financial tech, actually, would be one as well. This is more, I suppose, this would be more anecdotal, but I personally feel like there's probably things in, like, biotech and things like that that's a little bit untapped. There is a company out here, and they've told me directly, like, that their most successful scientists have been Irish. Like, they even were interested, could we do some program to hire Irish? Because, like, the qualifications that Irish graduates have is exactly what they're looking for. And then even in my own industry, like, I think it's probably a little bit untapped. But like just infrastructure and construction and things like that, like I think the way things are moving, that might be an area that might have more opportunities, especially with some of Ireland's kind of infrastructure targets. Like there's a lot of expertise in the West for that kind of thing as well.
And I know two other areas that are particularly important are the marine and also films. Because I know there's a movie industry and that there's a great relationship between the West Coast and Ireland as well.
Yeah, like there was like a film festival in Whistler last year, and I know it was quite a large Irish representation at that.
Yeah.
You know, similar to Ontario, like there'd be a lot of like Netflix shows out here. It's a big industry in Ireland. We kind of offer a similar model. Yes, like that would be definitely something that's been more explored in these days as well, I'd say.
Well, Mike, we're going to have to split there, and it's been great catching up with you and wishing you all the best and hope you keep growing and business keeps thriving between Ireland and Canada.
Thanks a million, Austin. Great chatting to you.
So we're going to go off to the other side of the Atlantic now and connect with the Ireland-Canada Business Association in Dublin, and Kate Hickey is here with me. Kate, great to see you again, and thanks for taking the time. We've been getting a flavour from the chambers in Canada of how they're where they're at the moment. What are things like over there?
Austin, great to be here, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about the Ireland-Canada Business Association. Our mandate is to provide a platform for the Canadian business community in Ireland, and we have about 80 members. We were established in 1978, and our members are across all sectors. Traditionally, Canadian companies in Ireland were in financial services, with the first one being Canada Life, which came to Ireland in 1903. But now we're seeing a diverse range of companies that are choosing Ireland as a base for their Irish market or for their European headquarters. So we're delighted to work on behalf of our members, and our objective will be to inform them about the salient issues about, you know, say there's an initiative auto enrollment that's happening now in January to make sure that they're up to speed at that as employers, to connect them with each other. And we have a number of Irish companies or international companies who are members who are service providers, accountants, lawyers, recruitment companies and management consultants. And then we try to educate our members. So here we are now, early November, and we thought we might have CETA ratified. At this stage, we're not too sure whether it'll be done now before the year is out.
Right.
So every July, we canvass our members about what are the impediments and the opportunities for them in their businesses. And we just take the temperature of the business environment to see, you know, how they feel about the business issues. So we launched the results of that survey. It's a business sentiment survey around to coincide with Canada Day. And some of the results are quite interesting. I can just run through a few of them with you. So, for example, 89% of respondents are planning to increase use of generative AI in their businesses and in their business processes. And it's considered that it does enhance performance. So that was, I suppose, a fairly predictable, but it's a very high percentage. We have 84% planning to increase the number of staff that they're employing. And of that, 74% are planning to increase wages. So that's a really positive outlook for how our members are doing within their businesses. And then investment decisions are being heavily influenced by the uncertainty caused by the Trump administration. And that was cited by 42% of our members. So there's some interesting results there. In terms of, you know, we always ask these companies, why Ireland? Why did you choose Ireland for your European operations? And typically, you know, there's three main factors that would be our English-speaking environment. And pre-Brexit, we would have competed with Scotland as a location for North American investment, but that's gone now.
Okay.
And now we compete with the Netherlands a little bit. We're looking at the access to the European market is another very significant factor, and then the availability of talent. So we have to match those positive factors with an infrastructure in terms of utilities, in terms of providing a workforce that's skilled in the needs of industry, and also being able to house these workers who come in or when people expand. So they're the challenges that every other business is facing in Ireland. So that's the business sentiment survey. And I represented the ICBA. I sat on the report that was commissioned by the Embassy of Ireland, and it was completed by the Conference Board of Canada. That was taking a deep dive into the Ireland-Canada relationship. And, you know, what does that look like? Where are the opportunities? And there were a few key findings. And, you know, no surprise, bilateral trade has doubled since CETA. Even with provisional application, 98% of the benefits are coming through. There are opportunities for further growth. And there was 13 high potential good categories identified. Foreign direct investment is engaging the Ireland-Canada relationship even more. Since 2016, Canadian FDI in Ireland is up 131%, which is amazing. And Irish FDI in Canada is up 35%. So, what, you know, why? We have shared personal values, which overspill into shared business values. And the future pillars to increase this growth are innovation, sustainability, and to make digital trade easier. Now, recommendations that were made by the Conference Board of Canada for Canadian policymakers are to put in place a mechanism to reduce the interprovincial trade barriers. So every province is different. The level of taxes mm-hmm. are different, and that can be difficult. Have an export support hub, a one-stop shop for companies exporting from all provinces. Streamline drug export approvals for non-critical pharmaceuticals. And I know that there's a lot to that.
Mm-hmm.
And support and, you know, facilitate and educate on EU compliance for Canadian SMEs.
Right.
So I know we don't have a huge amount of time. On the Irish side, we have to simplify the market entry supports for Canadian investors. We assist Irish exporters in navigating the provincial regulations that exist all across Canada. And there's an opportunity to promote it, particularly Irish cosmetics, essential oils, and tourism to Canadian consumers, because we have so many flights and we'd like to see more regional connectivity between Cork and Montreal, between Shannon and Ottawa, mm-hmm. rather than the two main hubs. And to keep on using, you know, trade missions to drive diversification. I know Enterprise Ireland, as we speak, are leading a trade mission, I think, next week to Canada. So there's a good documentation there of the nature of the relationship, how the future might look, and what needs to be done on the policy side to embed that relationship and to make sure that the potential is realised.
Kate, that is a powerful summary, and thank you so much. You covered so much ground in such a short period of time. And the one thing I got from that I thought was very salient, and that was that despite AI and the fears around AI, that employment prospects are up, because the big fear is that AI will kill jobs. But I was hearing from you that there's AI being incorporated, but that is also there is job growth.
Kate,
thanks so much for taking the time. We'll connect with you again, and hopefully more good news coming
from Ireland. Okay, thank you, Austin. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We've been covering the bilateral arrangements of trade and the requirements between Canada and Ireland. But one of the things all trade is dependent upon is employment. And Ireland has seen emigration. It's part of our history where the Irish have emigrated, and we have helped the world economically. But Ireland also is welcoming the emigrants back. And there's an opportunity coming up a little later in the month where EURES, EURES, in collaboration with or as part of Welfare Ireland, which is the Department of Social Protection, is putting on an information session. And Ramon Whelan is here with me. Ramon is the director of EURES and one of the main organisers of this. Ramon, welcome and thanks a million.
Thank you very much, Austin.
So, did I encapsulate a little bit of what that's about?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I'm the National Coordinator for Ireland as part of the EURES team. So, the EURES is made up of the 31 EU EAA states in Europe. So, we would be pushing the free movement of labour throughout all the European member states. So we would try and fill as many hard-to-fill positions that there are in Ireland through the movement of labour in Europe. But over the last number of years, we've seen a large number of Irish citizens returning to Ireland. So in this year alone, there's over 31,000 have returned. So we said we should try and reach out to our own and give them the opportunity of the of being able to come back to Ireland into jobs that are available. So we've put together this Fault You Back event, which is on the 25th of this month. Now it's an online event, fully online, but it's a fully interactive event. So the I know I'm going to say it numerous times as we go, but just so people don't miss it, but the easiest way to find it and to register for it is to Google EOJD Fault You Back. So on that platform, so that's taking place on the 25th of November, and we're doing it for 4 hours, and it will start at 2 p.m. Irish time. So I haven't done the maths on the local times there, but it's 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. Irish time.
So it'll be earlier in the day. Now, I'm going to put, these would be high-value jobs, and I don't say that in any kind of a disparaging way, but, you know, if people have emigrated, the chances are they've got themselves settled, they've got themselves into reasonably good-paying jobs, and what you're trying to do is attract talent back.
That's exactly it. Yeah, we have positions, we've over 500 positions advertised up on the site at the moment. They range from the construction industry to the health, to tourism, everything like that. So we're open right across the board. There's 136 different employers registered up with us there for the day. We expect that to grow in the coming weeks leading up to the event.
Are there particular areas of the employment market that are stretched, be it hospitality or be it high tech, that it's actually creating a problem within the economy because the workers aren't there?
Well, the main areas that we would be recruiting for, that we would reach out for, would be the construction industry, ICT, hospitality, and they would be our main emphasis on. But there are vacancies right across the board from multiple different sectors.
Yeah, because I know the government have announced a variety of initiatives, particularly, and there is a housing crisis. So given that there is a housing crisis, if someone is to consider coming back, how comfortable can they be in their decision making that accommodation won't be a problem?
Some of the employers that we have engaged with, part of the process of us engaging with them is that they will offer accommodation for a number of months when people come back. A lot of the construction companies do that, especially with the government after announcing the new housing program that's going to run forward. So they're looking to create over 30,000 houses by 2030, including a number of social housing. So there is a huge drive in the construction industry there to try and get the housing crisis under control.
And then one of the challenges when people emigrate is credentialing. So that would also be a challenge in returning, that they may have up their skills or got a degree while abroad, which may not necessarily be recognised.
Well, we'll have a number of presentations on the day. If I can just list some of the topics that we'll have. So the first one we'll be doing would be employment opportunities across Ireland. So it'll be highlighting what's available there. There'll also be, I know remote working is a big thing for a lot of people. There'll be some companies on explaining about that and how that operates here. But one of the main ones that would be of interest to people returning would be the documentation and legal consideration for relocation, and also the family and partner integration. So if you're returning with somebody, your partner or spouse, who's not Irish, the integration process there, and also children back into school. We will also have then as well tailoring your CV and interview skills aimed at the actual Irish employer. So we've some employers coming on to give information on that. Presentations will be live, but the platform has the facility to hold them there. So even if you can't make it along on the day, those presentations will be there for forever.
And for your own time zone.
And for your own time zone, exactly, exactly.
So given that it could be from Australia to Vancouver to St. John's, Newfoundland, all time zones are being catered for.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. And the site is totally interactive, so the employers will be live, the presentations are live, there's a live chat, and there's a live Q&A session. So if you have a specific query, you will be able to get it answered on the day.
And the site, give all the coordinates and run over the time of the presentation, right, as well.
Yes. Yeah, so the event is from 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. Irish time on Tuesday, the 25th of November. The easiest way to find the site is EOJD Fallcheback, if you Google that. And if you run into any queries or you want any assistance in trying to find that, you can contact ourselves here at your age. at welfare.ie. And
thank you so much, Raymond. And it's been great to catch up and get the information out there.
Thanks very much, Austin.
I want to thank very much all the Chamber representatives who made themselves available for this programme. Ruth Hanna in Montreal, Julie McAlpin in Ottawa, Philip Geraghty in Toronto, Noreen Regan in Calgary for Alberta, John Crowley in Edmonton, Mike Murphy in Vancouver, Kate Hickey at the Ireland Canada Business Association in Dublin, and Raymond Whelan for Falchabac. If you missed this podcast, you can catch the podcast on irishradio.ca/podcast.